Yes, Lord Jesus, this morning we choose to fix our eyes on you. Take our eyes off ourselves, our circumstances, but to look at you, Lord. Father, before this world began, you already had a plan for this world and for us. So, Father, we choose to just look at you, to look into your eyes, eyes of fire, eyes that love us. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you that we can worship you. Thank you that we don't have to worship a man or a creation or a creature, but we can worship you, the creator of everything. We praise you, Lord. So we sort of paused the book of Acts. We are between Acts chapter 17, 18 and 19. And it's all about the city of Ephesus. So Paul spent 2 years in this city and really established a strong church there. He went to Jerusalem, he came back 6 years later from the city, wrote the book of Romans. So we're looking a bit at the book of Ephesians, because Ephesians tell us a lot about the church, who we are. First of all, what did God do? We looked at that last week. What did God do through Jesus Christ? And that's Ephesians 1, verse 1 to 14. So we're going to start this morning and look from verse 15, probably up to, I think, 2 verse 9. We're going to look at this concept of being seated. So, I think before I speak, let us just read the scriptures. Seated with Christ is the topic. So let's start reading from Ephesians 1, verse 15. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in the age but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So a very popular prayer for the church to pray. So here you see for the first time this concept of being seated. Going back a little bit to Ephesians chapter 1, we saw that God, through Jesus Christ, before this world began, he had a plan to restore everything. Remember that Adam and Eve fell because of rebellion, because of disobedience. And God is not someone that will quit, because creation is broken, and it was broken. I mean, there was perfect fellowship between God and man, and even with the animals and the stars and everything that was created, there was harmony in the universe. The cosmos was in harmony. But when man fell, this broke. And God wants to restore everything back to himself. So we know the word salvation. Salvation has got a few parts to it. The first part that we know well is justification. So justification is everything that God did. We didn't do anything there. God came and He sent His Son to pay the ultimate price for sin, to die for sin. God did that. It was a free gift. And justification means that there is now peace between God and man. And this is what the Holy Spirit is doing. The Holy Spirit, as I preach the word, is using that word. It enters into the hearts of people, and the Holy Spirit uses that word to convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what happens when you speak to the world out there that doesn't know Christ. The Holy Spirit works with you, and that word comes alive in their heart, and in that moment they become saved. They become justified. Justification means they are united with God. So the faith that is needed for salvation, a good illustration is like just having your hand out like this to receive. That faith is, I receive what you have done, God, through Jesus Christ. In that moment, you become born again. You become saved. So the first part of salvation has to do with our spirit man, and that is justification. The second part of salvation is sanctification. That has got to do with our soul. So I'm getting a little bit technical, but it's important for this chapter 1 and 2 of Ephesians to understand this. There's a positional sanctification where we see ourselves in Christ Jesus. It is so important every day that we take up that position. This whole sermon is about being seated with Christ in the heavenlies. But we're looking now at God first seating Christ next to Him. We'll look a little bit further in chapter 2 where we are seated with Christ. So we did justification, sanctification. There's a positional sanctification that happens the moment we are born again, that we are positioned and united in Christ, in His death, His sufferings, His resurrection. And then there is the continuous sanctification that is happening daily. And this will happen for the rest of our lives. The Holy Spirit will keep on working to establish the character of Christ within us. The whole of Galatians 5 talks about this. He shows the sins of the flesh, like, for example, jealousy, selfishness. And then he shows in Galatians 5 verse 22 the fruit of the Spirit. And that is where the Holy Spirit, and some translations have a small S there for Spirit, other translations have a big S. So some commentators will say it's our spirit man, other commentators will say it's the Holy Spirit. I personally believe it's both. There's a working of the Holy Spirit with our spirit man to work this fruit of the Spirit, to work God's love. Because it's really His kind of love. Agape love means I give my life to you guys. But that's easy. I know you. I give my life to the people outside. I give my life to my enemies. That is this agape kind of love. That is the love that Jesus had when He died on the cross. He gave His life for His enemies. We were His enemies because we were sinners. So the sanctification is something that happens every day as we walk with God and we love people. The Holy Spirit is developing this in us. So we look justification, our spirit man. Sanctification, our soul is. Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's our soul dimension. What we decide, volition, our will. What we feel, our emotions. And then what we think mentally. That is our soul dimension. And that is where sanctification plays a role. That's where the old man is. We see the old man is crucified. And we see the new man alive in Jesus Christ. So that's the sanctification part. The third part is something we've got no control over. That is the glorification part. That is when Jesus comes and He says in 1 Corinthians 15, within an instant, this body will be transformed and we will get a new body. Different DNA. May look the same. Marius may look the same, but completely different DNA. This body will have a different, it will be a heavenly body. That's the body that Jesus have. Jesus doesn't have his old body anymore that he had on earth. He's got a new body. And we're also going to receive a new body. That's the glorification part. So do you see that that all is salvation? And when we read Ephesians 1, he talks a lot about inheritance. This is the inheritance. This is the mystery of the ages. We sang a little bit about the mystery this morning. But the mystery of the ages, which the prophets couldn't understand, which the angels couldn't grasp, is this, that God is going to restore everything back to himself. Even us, even this body is going to restore and make it new. So let's come back to Jesus. So we have God using all his power. I must read you a translation, a Woest. It's a Woest commentary of that part we just read, where God used all his power to see Jesus next to him. And what is the superabounding greatness of this inherent power to us who are believing ones, as measured by the operative energy of the manifested strength of his might, which might was operative in the Christ when he raised him out from among the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. So God used all his strength, all his might, all his power. There's at least four different Greek words in that passage on power. So God used his power to take Jesus out, to quicken him in hell. He was literally in the darkest places of hell. And God took him out there, lifted him up, put him at his right hand, far above all power and all principality. And it's important to know that God set him down. The word here for set is katizu. God made Jesus to sit down next to him. And because Jesus sat down next to the Father, Ephesians 2 shows that we need to be seated with Jesus next to the Father. We will never conquer sin on this earth if we don't get this concept. God used all his power to see Jesus next to him, to make him. God made Jesus to sit down next to him after Jesus did everything, after everything was completed, after he was separated from his Father, when he paid the full price. And then we're going to read further on. What did he do with us? So if we go to Ephesians 2, and you were dead, verse 1, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. So we have to understand, I think the best parable or comparison I can make is, fish normally swim downstream, but you have some fish like trout that swim against the stream. So this scripture is showing that the normal way the world works, and it's connected to the passion of our bodies and our soul. The normal way the world works leads to death. So if I stand up in the morning and I don't look up at God, I just carry on with my day. I follow the normal way of things, the normal passions, like he says here, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God. So just doing the things that the world do, being normal, following the trends on social media, those things lead to death. But God. God made a difference. God made it possible for us to rest in Him. And we're going to get to that now. So, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up. Remember Jesus? He raised us up with Him. So to be raised up with Jesus means we died with Jesus. Isn't that the obvious conclusion? To be raised up with Jesus means we have died with Jesus. So that's where it's the first time that we were unified with Jesus Christ was in His death. The rest of Jesus' life, the other 33 years on earth, we were not united with Him there. But when Jesus died, we were united with Him by faith. So He says, by grace you've been saved and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are seated in Christ. This is not something we can figure out with our mind. But when I sinned, when I have sinned, what is my approach to God? I go back to this scripture and say, Lord, because God seated you at His right hand, you have seated me. I believed in you. And by faith, I am seated with you in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Because the devil will take us out when we sin. He will accuse you. He is the accuser of the brethren. That's his job. He will accuse us and he will attack us. And he will let you go down that rabbit hole. So, the answer for us is to rest in Him. There where He sits, in the heavenlies, we start our day there, seated with Christ. And we move from there. We are alive to Christ. We are dead to sin. So if the devil says you are sinful, he's lying. And he is the father of the lies. We shouldn't believe him. I wrote here, we have a spiritual history. We were buried with Christ, in Him. We were made alive together with Christ. So with Christ, we are crucified. We are quickened. We are raised. And we are set in the heavenlies. That is our position in Christ. I remember when I walked or worked in the corporate sector, and I would be verbally abused when I won't meet deadlines or something. My bosses won't be happy with me. And I would walk back to my office from the main block where all the CEOs and CFOs and all those guys were sitting. And the Lord will just say one word to me, posture. And this is posture. This is what He was saying to me. You are not what these people are accusing you of. You are what I say you are. And God says we are seated with Him. God says we died with Christ. We were raised with Him. We are seated with Him in the heavenlies. This is not positive thinking like you will find in a book like Vincent Norman Peale. This is not positive thinking. This is truths that God gave the church. The angels long to know these truths. This is a mystery from before the beginning of the ages. And there's places in the Bible, I think in Hebrews, where it says the angels long to know this mystery. And God has given it to us. So posture is important when we walk with God. Let's look at some more scriptures. How can we know that we are in Christ? 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. I'm going to go a little bit back, verse 27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, God the Father, because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. We said in chapter 1, Ephesians 1 verse 1 to 14, we said that God had this plan, he had this blueprint from before the world began of what he's going to do. And he came and he set us into his plan. So we think the plan stops with us, but it doesn't. God had the plan and he chose us. He adopted us as his sons and daughters. And he set us into that plan. Why? You can read Ephesians 1 from verse 1 to 14. You'll see it's to his glory. It's not about us. He set us in his plan. He chose us. That was his mercy, to choose us and to put us into his plan so that glory can go back to him. But it is his plan. I want to read another verse showing that God has put us into Christ. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us, and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. Remember what we talked about, the Spirit being the guarantee? If you buy a house for 100,000, and Josh told me last week that's impossible, but the bank will require 10%, so I have to give 10,000 rand. And the idea of the 10,000 is that I will pay the 90,000 when it is due. So the 10,000 rand that I give to the bank is my guarantee to the bank that I will pay the rest of the money. And we see in Ephesians 1 that God gave us the Holy Spirit. That is his guarantee that we will require or acquire a whole inheritance. Those stages I talked about, justification, sanctification, glorification, everything of that, whole salvation, God's promise by giving his Holy Spirit to us, that all of that is going to happen to us. Everything in creation will be restored like it was in the beginning. That's God's promise by giving his Holy Spirit to us. That's the guarantee. So he says it is God who establishes us with you in Christ, and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us, and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So I wrote here, we need to see it. God put me in Christ. We need to see it. We need to believe it. We need to accept it, and we need to rejoice in it. Remember, we create realities for ourselves. Social media is a reality that we create for ourselves. This is a reality that's based on truth, that we are seated in Christ. So if we start thinking about it, pondering about it, start our day and finish our day, I am seated with Christ. It's more than just confessing it, it's living it. We're going to start, the world is moving at a fast pace, and the world requires us to do stuff, to go, to run. So this message is not what the world wants to hear. The world doesn't want to hear be seated. The world wants to hear run, work hard, work day and night. Success is based on how much you do. This message is be seated in Christ. So how does works, I didn't put it in the sermon, but how does works connect to this? If God says stop the works, like he said to the Ephesian church in Revelation 2, I know your works, it is good, but you've lost your first love. You are not seated at my feet. You're not sitting at my feet listening to my voice. You are going, 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 running, running, running. This message says be seated, rest in Christ. God said he has prepared works before the beginning of this world for us. So when we start from this position every day, God will use that first verse. I think we read it in Ephesians 1 verse 3. Paul is writing to the Ephesians and he's saying, I hear about your faith, and I hear about your love to all the saints. What is that faith? It's not salvation faith he's talking about. It's not the faith of, Lord, I receive you as my Christ. It's not that faith. This is a day-by-day faith. So every day, these Ephesians were growing in their faith. They encountered struggles, persecution, difficulties, and they were exercising their faith by loving, by persevering, by patience. That fruit was growing. So their faith connected with this fruit was causing, the Holy Spirit was causing this fruit to grow in their lives. So when that faith, I see it as a cross. Faith is going upwards to God, us to God. Then there is the sideways beam of the cross. That's our relationships in our life, the people that we connect to. When we trust God and allow Him to develop that fruit of the Spirit in us, this beam here, our relationships will grow in love. Agape love, a kind of love where you give your life to the next person. How did I get to that point? I don't know. My last point is a holy life. Let's look at Romans 6 verse 11. I don't know if I've put it here. Let's just have a look. Okay, I did. Okay, let's start from verse 8. Romans 6. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death He died to sin, once for all. But the life He lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So, what is holiness? You look at this scripture, it is a mindset. You are setting your mind. I am dead to sin. Actually, first, I'm alive to God. I'm dead to sin. Because you are alive to God, because you've been raised with Christ from the dead, sin has got no power over you anymore. Always remember that the Holy Spirit is within you. That's where life dwells, is in your spirit man. Death, sin is outside. It's not in us. It feels like it's in us, part of us, but it's not. Persecution, oppression, desires, it all comes from outside of us. So we have the choice to declare, I am alive to God, I am dead to sin. And I was laughing at one guy, I can't remember now quickly his name, but somebody I was reading, and it was Smith Wheels with one of these old preachers, and when sin will come to him, when temptation will come to him, he will say, no, I have been baptized in Christ Jesus. Literally talking about the baptism in water. So he would say that because it signifies our death in Christ. It signifies our resurrection with Jesus, the baptism in water. So he would use that illustration when temptation comes to him and says, no, I have been baptized with Christ Jesus. So that stuck in my mind, and I think it's a good illustration to use when we are tempted, and we're tempted in many ways. I mean, I'm tempted in anger when I'm in the traffic. It's really a weakness that I've got, and I needed to grow a lot in that area. And Gerdan and Danya, they are watching me like hawks when I'm in the traffic. So they're my conscience. I don't even have to use my conscience. They are my conscience in the traffic. So we need to grow in many areas, but we have the Holy Spirit. We have this position where we are seated in Christ. And there is no other way we will conquer sin except from this position. God raised Jesus up from the dead, seated Him at His right hand, made Him to sit down at His right hand. And then Ephesians 2, God raised us up with Jesus, and He went and He sat us down with Him. Because He chose to adopt us. Before the beginning of this world, He chose to adopt us as His sons and daughters and to give us this inheritance. So this is God's love. It's His mercy. So Yeah, that's my story this morning. I can keep on repeating it. The more I repeat it, the more I encourage myself. So, yeah, please go and think about it. Test it with the word. There's lots of other scriptures. You can now take exactly the same concept and read Galatians, go and read Corinthians, go and read Colossians. You'll see the same thing is running there as well. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Yeah, Father, what a privilege to just have your word with us, have your Holy Spirit with us, and your patience, Lord, that you keep on teaching us these things. And we know that your heart is that everyone comes to you, that everyone comes to salvation and comes to know you. And that's why you are so patient with us, Lord, because we are your instruments, we are your church to make a difference in this world. So thank you, Lord, for just your mercy on us and your grace that you are extending every day. We give you all glory, Jesus' name.